announces this Suncorp Stadium thing. We're bringing the game to the people. Now, I'm not sure if Mr. Greenberg has ever tried to book accommodation within a 10-kilometre radius of Suncorp Stadium, book a flight, what have you. I just think it's a bit steep.
Look, I'll tell you what, Brett, one thing that they have done, they've borrowed this from the English Super League, and they have Magic Weekend where they go. And that's a good look.
Something to try.
It's worth trying. Yeah, it's absolutely worth trying. Will it be a success? How do you define it as a success?
Give
Who a knows?
Go.
But it's definitely worth trying.
Got to be innovative. Yep. Just a quick one. This is from Jack. Got the show on whilst concrete in my backyard this morning, getting ready for Christmas Day. Good on you, Jack. Have a couple of quiet beers today whilst you're doing
that. Good on you, Jack. Hope it dries in time for Christmas. 1353 53, the Opaline number. Time now for the news. After the news, we'll have our legend of the game. It's the legendary Lindsay May, who will skipper Kealoha 2 in his 46th straight.
Get
Rolex,
your head around that.
Sydney to Hobart.
I'm Arthur Stevens. Northern Territory Chief Minister Michael Gunner has returned from his New Zealand holiday and immediately sacked three government ministers. Mr. Gunner defended his decision to sack the three after they undertook what he says was a deliberate campaign to undermine him. The three were Aboriginal Affairs and Primary Industries and Resources Minister Ken Vowles, Assistant Minister Jeff Collins and backbencher Scott McConnell. Mr. Gunner says he had no choice.
It's clear that three members of the government team acted this week to destabilise the government, and I acted decisively.
Firefighters were called out overnight to a house fire in Melbourne's inner north suburb of Thornbury. The alarm was raised about 4:45 this morning, and Hutton Street was closed to traffic whilst crews worked on the site. One house was destroyed, and it appears two either side have been badly damaged. A Queensland man will face court accused of child cruelty following the death of a four-month-old girl. The 37-year-old was arrested on Saturday and charged with cruelty to children and six counts of leaving a child unattended. His arrest came after that of a 35-year-old woman who faced court last Thursday, accused of the baby's murder. The couple were the child's guardians. The baby, who was the woman's niece, died of critical injuries in Brisbane South on November 20th. Tasmanian police are continuing to search for missing 76-year-old experienced bushwalker James McLean, who's overdue from a one-month trek in the state's far southwest. The search area is concentrating around the three main tracks that stretch between Malaluka and the start of the Huon track near the Picton River at Tahoon. Yesterday morning, Westpac rescue helicopter and teams of search and rescue and SES volunteer wilderness walkers scoured the area. They camped overnight and are expected to meet up later today to consider the future of the search. A house near London's Gatwick Airport has been searched after police arrested a man and woman over the drone chaos, which affected around 140,000 passengers. 47-year-old man and 54-year-old woman from Crawley were arrested in the town on Friday night. Around 1,000 flights were cancelled or diverted after drones were spotted inside the perimeter of the UK's second biggest airport on Wednesday night, affecting about 140,000 passengers. Britain's Shadow Transport Secretary Andy McDonald says government ministers were aware of the disruption caused by the drones, but sat on their hands and did nothing.
It really is quite farcical, and we are being laughed at by the rest of the world when we've got this sort of risk obtaining. We know about cyber security, but with these crude mechanisms, people have been able to bring one of our key pieces of infrastructure to a grinding halt.
In the US, the huddled masses are still able to visit the Statue of Liberty. The Grand Canyon's open for business. And the US government says other national parks will remain as accessible as possible. Tourists trekking to parks and historic sites across the US on Saturday saw a mix of impacts from the federal government's second shutdown in less than a year. Some attractions are staying open thanks to funding from states and charitable groups. Meanwhile, the US Congress is sitting for a rare weekend session to try and resolve the impasse. Democrat Chuck Schumer has laid the blame at the feet of President Donald Trump.
We arrived at this moment because President Trump has been on a destructive two-week temper tantrum, demanding the American taxpayer pony up for an expensive and ineffective border wall that the president promised Mexico would pay for.
This is Air News. Firstly, football in the A-League Melbourne derby finished all square last night, as Air Sports' Graham Davis reports.
A stoppage-time equaliser by Melbourne City denied its local rival Melbourne Victory a place at the top of the A-League table, with an absorbing contest finishing 1-1. The deadlock was broken in the 55th minute when Barbarouses floated a pinpoint cross to the far post where Toivonen side-footed home. It looked as though Victory would claim its seventh successive win until in the 92nd minute, Jamison put put a ball over to the far post, where Vidicic climbed highest to not home the equaliser to delight the home fans in the 24,000 crowd. Graham Davis in Melbourne for Air Sports.
The English Premier League title race has taken an unexpected twist as champions Manchester City lost ground on leaders Liverpool after a 3-2 defeat at home by Crystal Palace. Fourth place Chelsea also lost, beaten 1-0 at home by Leicester City, while Arsenal moved alongside them with a 3-1 win over Burnley. In cricket, there were wild thunderstorms and hail, but in the end, the Hurricanes did the damage in the Big Bash League clash on the Gold Coast. Hobart began their BBL campaign with a 15-run win in a rain-affected match as Brisbane Heat slumped to their second straight loss despite a six-hitting storm by Ben Cutting. And in basketball, Adelaide survived a late Cairns rally to notch a hard-fought 87-82 NBL win over the Taipans at home. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Noir. By De Bortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Right now, when you buy Dairy Farmers milk from a participating retailer, you're helping support our dairy farmers with over $2 million raised so far. Visit truebluedrought.com.au to find out more. We're expecting heavy traffic on roads approaching the airport this morning, already heavy on Marsh Street approaching the International Terminal. In Pyrmont, also expecting heavy traffic on Pyrmont Bridge Road at Bridge Road due to the fish market's Christmas trading. That's all okay for now, though, and it's a clear run north to the Central Coast on the M1. Kmart is making it easy to shop the hottest gifts at irresistibly low prices with extended Christmas trading hours. Visit kmart.com.au for your local store's details. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Hi, Russell Veitch here. May Christmas be a happy and joyous occasion for you and your family. And if you are travelling during the holiday season, please stay safe, drive carefully. And remember, there are over 100 Sky Sports Radio stations throughout the state. Giddy up.
From all of us here at Sky Sports Radio, have a Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Lionel Lee. I'd like to explain why not having any idea what to give someone for Christmas is a brilliant idea. Because you can give them a Bingley gift card. So instead of choosing between a coffee machine, a Bluetooth speaker, a drone, a Fitbit, or hundreds of other gift ideas at Bingley, they choose. They'll be happy, you'll be happy, my mum will be happy. Bingley gift cards can be $50, $100, $200 or $500. And you can buy them online or in-store. Your brilliant gift idea from Bingley.
And here is the champion. Cracksman wins the champion in fantastic soil.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy, a 30% chance of a shower in the morning and the early afternoon. Well, we've had that, so that's 100% right. Wind southeast to southwesterly, 15 to 25 kilometres. Maximum 23 on the 23rd.
You brushed them, didn't you?
And a 50% chance. Hang on, look at this. They're saying 50% chance of rain here and slight 30% chance here. Our next guest, so I'm going to talk to him about those guys at the Bureau of Meteorology.
If they trust them. If they can, how
well,
much
exactly.
trust they can get
how, yeah.
the bomb people.
Exactly. What's the... the quotient, the accuracy quotient on that one. Anyway, that's Sydney. What about at Tempe and then at Taree? Of course, we always do our alliteration there. And if any of our listeners know another suburb in Sydney that starts
struggling
with
to
T,
think
that'd be very helpful, mate, because
it's
gone
gets
Tempe.
He gets a run again, Tempe. Currently 19 degrees at Tempe. Taree with a racing today, heading for a top temperature and a partly cloudy Christmas Eve Eve at Taree of 23 degrees.
Rachel Hill, what a combination. The cross from the American, the header from the Australian.
Oh, Jared,
Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Very shortly we'll have our legend of the game, that is Lindsay May, the navigator slash skipper in his 46th Sydney to Hobart race. He'll be skippering Kealoha 2 this year. Sports update with Tanya. We'll get an A-League and EPL update with Phil Moss, and we'll get Trent Lansgale and Scotty Foster on the line as well. So a busy hour coming up to finish just before Christmas in 2018. Just on Miloš Ninković, who we had the highlights there, his birthday is on the 25th of December as well. Mm-hmm. However, a Serbian Christmas is celebrated on the 7th of January. So his birthday is actually not on Christmas Day, although he said that he celebrates it twice. Okay. So
he was on Bill and Boz, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on Bill and Boz. Lovely fella. But what we're doing today is this, Raymond, because the 23rd of December, we know, is
Festivus.
Dear son, happy Festivus? What is Festivus?
It's nothing.
When George was growing
Jerry,
up, his father hated all the commercial and religious aspects of Christmas, so he made up his own holiday.
So we're asking people to air their list of grievances, which for many people has been long.
There's been a few interesting contributions.
Yeah, this one comes in. Jimmy and Ray, my grievance of 2018 was the treatment of some of our leading NRL referees by ref boss Tony Archer. This disgrace has thankfully been fixed with Graham Annesley now appointed in charge. Lads, all the best for Christmas and the New Year. That's Rooster Mick from Goulburn.
And Master Monkey's chime. I haven't heard from Master Monkey for a while. Apart from Mrs. Monkey, my grievance is Fortnite. That's that online game.
Yes.
Earphones, iPads, Facebook, etc. My grandkids don't talk anymore.
Mm.
And I'm buying them a footy for Christmas just to bugger up their day, Master Monkey.
It's a very good point you make, Master Monkey. It's a good one. And by the way, this comes in. The only thing you're dirty about with the kids needing to be entertained these days, Jimmy, is that it costs you money. Well, it doesn't grow on trees, tight ass.
Can you say that on here?
Well, that's what he said. That's his name. Or her. Could have been her. And this one, we better put this one in, Ray, too.
Mm.
Ray, I won the tipping comp last week with your tips. Best wishes for Christmas and the New Year to the team. Even you, Jimmy. That's from Judy.
That's a lovely so Judy. Merry Christmas,
well,
Judy.
And as I call her, Judy. You call her the lovely Judy. We are excited about our next guest. He is a legend of the Sydney to Hobart.
I'll probably listen to that thinking, what the hell am I coming on here? It is a sports show, Lindsay, I promise.
Allegedly. But yeah, it's just incredible the record that he has set up. He's going to be the skipper of Kealoha 2. And of course, it starts at Boxing Day about 1 p.m., we reckon. It's great to have Lindsay May as our legend of the game. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, guys. And firstly, I'm not the skipper of Kealoha 2. I don't want to upset Paddy Broughton. He's the skipper. I'm the navigator.
Sorry. But yeah, you have, let's check this. I think you're at the helm of, trying to think of the name of the boat, when it went over the winning finish line.
Okay. Love and War in 2006. I was the skipper navigator of Love and War
in
2006 when we won on corrected time, on handicap.
Okay. All right. Well, Lindsay, we asked this of all of our special guests for our segment on this one. How did sailing become a part of your life?
Well, I was actually a surf lifesaver and a competitive swimmer, and I was in North Wollongong and then Bondi Surf Clubs, and then a mate of mine took me sailing, and that was 1971, and since then I've been sailing. I did my first Hobart in 73, and I've done all 45 since then.
Wow. Lindsay, 46th, as Jimmy said, Sydney to Hobart race this year for you. What is the magic of this race that keeps bringing Lindsay May back every year?
Well, you have a great time. It's a competition, obviously. I'm competitive. There are years when you're on boats that are really competitive, and there are other years when the boats are not so competitive. You know, when you've got 80 boats out there, there's probably about 20 boats that are really in it. The crews, they've done the work, the money's been spent on the boat. But to me, I liken it to a bit like the football club end of season trip away without the alcohol. And, you know, you just have a great time with a bunch of people, and you never know what's going to happen over the 2, 3, 4 days that you're going to be out there.
I can imagine the change in technology has been pronounced across 46 years, Lindsay. What's been the greatest godsend for navigators, and what's been some of the more interesting or less important bit of technology that's come through?
Right. Well, I guess the most important for navigators is global positioning, the GPS.
Right.
Up until 1983, all of our navigation was done using a sextant, and site reduction tables where you calculated your position, and that would take you about probably an hour to take the sites and then go down and work them all out and plot them on a chart and do that. And then in 1983, the rules were changed and we were allowed to use satellite navigation, but we didn't have GPS then. We had what was called transit, so about every hour and a half you got your position. Mm-hmm. GPS came in, I think, about 1993, and that absolutely revolutionised the navigation. And the most important thing about that was really safety, was that you knew where you were. Yeah. If you were in really rough conditions previously, if you knew where you were within a couple of miles, you were doing well.
Right.
So if someone went overboard or a boat's in strife, then we have a very good idea of where it is. And now, of course, we have the emergency position radio beacons, EPIRBs, which tell you exactly where you are.
Mm. Well, I guess, Lindsay, the horrors of 1998 would have ushered in this era where safety now is just so important, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I guess every year, well, really even before 98 and post 98, safety has been prominent. Mm-hmm. The Cruising Yacht Club of Australia, that runs in association with the Royal Yacht Club of Tasmania, have led the world from a long, long time ago with regard to safety. They had some people on their committees back in the 70s, a fellow by the name of Gordon Marshall, who's no longer with us. Gordon was an engineer, he was a boat measurer, and he was just really on about safety. And he was the guy that started hauling boats over to see if they'd pop back up again, inclination tests or stability tests and so forth. And then after 98, CYC had a review, there was a coronial inquiry, and more regulations were brought in to try and make it a lot safer. But mind you, 98, they were horrendous conditions. So, you know, things happen. It's like floods and people get washed away in floods and things like that we know we're not sort of really prepared for.
Exactly. Linda, I didn't want to harp on 98, but you just touched on it then. It was horrendous conditions. You've sailed 45 Sydney to Hobarts. You've no doubt sailed into some horrendous weather. But why was 98 so bad?
Well, there was two main factors. Is one, there was an incredibly intense low-pressure system that rolled out through Bass Strait into the southern Tasman Sea. And the other thing is we had a very strong current running down the coast. Typically, there's a current, the East Australian Current. You've seen the movie Finding Nemo, so the EOC is this fact. And that year, it was running very, very strongly. So when the current running south met the wind was blowing back from the southwest, blowing up north against each other, they built up really big seas, and it was just huge waves that probably we've never had before. I sailed in the 84 race, which was pretty bad, as was the 93 race. But it seems to me that, you know, 98 was the worst sea conditions that have been seen in a race.
I wanted to ask you about 93. I was reading the story of John Quinn, who went overboard another yacht, and you responded to the call for help. And I think he was picked off by a tanker in the middle of the night. That's just extraordinary, Lindsay.
It is the most remarkable story. You guys have done your research. Yeah, 93, I was on a yacht called Atara, which was an Irish boat. She was an Australian boat, but owned by an Irishman and with a part Irish crew. And we lost our mast on the night of the 27th. We were just getting into Bass Strait, and we were hit by a huge wave. Mast went over the side. It took us some time to get rid of it. And then when we got back on the radio again, I heard that there was a man in the water about 23 miles to the northeast of us. Now, that boat was in a bit of strife. We'd been bashed on the side by the mast, and we had the side of the hull was sort of working away. But, you know, you just got to go and do that. So we went out, and this tanker, the Ampol Sorel, which had been standing by whilst the people had got off another yacht, was called back into the area. And it was about like 4:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock. It was dark. And they had a watchman on watch with a searchlight, and he picked up the reflective tapes on John Quinn's vest. He didn't have a life vest on. He just had a float, what we call a float coat.
Wow.
And he sort of yelled out, I see you. And so on the radio, they came up, and it's Ampol Sorel, and they just said, we've got him, we've got him, we've got him. And I said to the guys on our boat, let's go to Eden. We're about 100 miles from Eden. Let's get out of here. They've got him. And then I thought, how does a tanker pick a bloke up out of the water? And the next call came up and said, he's passing down our port side. And I thought, right, of course he is. Anyway, Peter Messenger on the helm took a bearing on the tanker. I called him up, said, how far away are we? We're about 2 miles away. And we got in there, and blow me down, we just about nearly ran over him.
Incredible.
Yeah, and am I right, Lindsay, in saying that you were trying to get an understanding of how much damage there was to your boat when you pulled John out of the water. Is that right?
Oh yeah, we ripped out bunks and we shored the side of the boat up with the bunks to try and stop, you know, to keep it intact. You know, it was just the most amazing thing. And getting him back on board, we had to put a man in the water and bring him up over the stern and so forth. But
and was he able to give you an understanding of? Because I think there's a famous quote from John, isn't there? When he was
there is. So we got him down below, and one of the guys, Bill Sykes, said to him, "John, he was along the side of the boat for a while, and we got a rope around him. He had the rope around his neck, and I remember him saying, 'You're choking me.' And Sykes, he said, 'I don't care what I'm doing. I'm not letting you go.' Plus, we had one of our guys fall in at the same time that this was going on, in addition to the man that we put in the water. And we got him down below, and a little bit later, he had a cup of tea, and Sykes, he said to him, mate, while you were sort of bouncing along the side of the boat, did you notice all the delamination on the hull, all the damage on the hull? And he said, when the ambulance arrives, you don't check out the condition of the Juco.
That's a great line, isn't it? Such a great line. Lindsay, on Boxing Day, you're sailing in. The boat is kilo or two. It's the heaviest boat in the fleet. The weather conditions apparently are fairly light winds most of the race. What are you expecting from kilo or two?
Mm. Okay, so kilo is an old boat. She was built in 1964 for a famous American sailor, Jim Kilroy, mm-hmm. who came out here with kilo or two in 71. She took line honours. Then he came back in 75 with kilo or three and set a record that stood for 21 years. She's heavy, 45 tons, so she needs a lot of breeze to get going.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, the latest forecast today, the models that we use are sort of really neck and neck with one another. They're totally opposed, And we're looking like having light airs northeasterly to start, but mm-hmm. then easing off, and there's a southerly coming through, not a weak southerly. And round in the Bass Strait area, it looks very, very confusing. There's two high-pressure systems that are apart from each other. So in the middle of those two high-pressure systems, you're going to get the breeze all over the place, down pressure, and then they will join up, and that will give you good breeze. I think the big boats are probably going to have good breeze all the way down. They go fast in anything, just about. Mm-hmm. And then when we get off the Tassie coast, then another little high-pressure system forming, and in the middle of that, there's not going to be a lot of breeze. So I think for us, it's going to be a slowish race.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the winners, probably the handicap winners, will come out of the bigger boats. I think they'll hold a good breeze and get on down the coast and miss that lighter stuff on the 29th.
Mm. I know you put get your updates from the Bureau of Meteorology, which we do the weather here on a
Jimmy's
Sunday
not
morning.
A fan, Lindsay, I can tell you.
They're all over, Lindsay, they're all over the place. How much credence are you placing what sort of intel you're getting from the Bureau of Meteorology?
Oh, they're great.
I'm glad you said that, Lindsay, because Jimmy spends every week bagging the people at the BOM, and they do their best.
So the weather comes from the west, right? The main thing is that our weather comes from the west. So you can look at what's happening in the Bight, you know, the Great Australian Bight or WA, and that's what we're doing now. We're looking at that. But we also use a guy by the name of Roger Badham, Roger Clouds Badham. He's famous. He does Olympics. He does Volvo around the world, the New Zealand America's Cup and so forth as a weather router. And he every day gives us his opinions. And then on the morning of the race, he gives us the information. Once we start, we can't get information from him anymore. We're on our own.
Right.
And then we are looking at the BOM at the Bureau of Meteorology. You know, working out.
He's a hard man, Lindsay.
I've found them to be pretty good. But of course, you know, here we are now. Like Thursday, they came out with their long range forecast, which looked like nor'easter all the way. But we know that is long range, even you know, at that stage, sort of 6 days out. Every day, obviously, you get closer to it, you've got a better idea of what's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's a common sense approach, James. You should learn that off.
I love the way your nickname's Clouds. He works at the Bureau of Meteorology.
Hey, Lindsay, we'll be watching you and Kilo very closely, obviously, but what are the other boats for our listeners they should be watching out for? And indeed, is it prudent to ask you for a tip?
I can give you tips. I can't bet, that's all.
That's okay,
right.
Well, in the big boats, of course, Comanche is probably the fastest boat. But Comanche needs heavier weather, which you probably will get, stronger breezes. If it goes very, very light, she's a bit sticky.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a huge surface area, so she sticks in the water a bit. Wild Oats, but the boat that I'm really impressed with is Blackjack.
Okay.
She's a similar size to Wild Oats, probably hasn't had as much surgery over the years. And in the big boat race a few weeks ago, I thought she performed really, really well. She hung on to Wild Oats 11th. And then you've got Intro-Track as being the performer Perpetual Lloyd, Loyal.
Yes.
You know, 3 years ago. So they're probably the big boats. And then in handicap, you'd have to look at Itchy Barn, Matt Allen's boat, won last year on handicap. Top boat, top crew. But there's a host of boats through there. This is an incredibly strong fleet.
Yeah.
And with some really, really good sailors in there. There's so many world-class sailors spread across this fleet. I think that's where the wind is going to come from, in that 60, 52-foot range. I like a boat called Bush Paul Group. They've got a good handicap. Their rating's low. Good crew, good boat, right conditions. They could do really well.
We'll cheer for Kealoha, Jim.
Yeah, we'll be cheering Kealoha too, Lindsay. Great to have you on the program. We do appreciate it. All the best.
Thanks, Jim.
For Boxing Day and your 46th straight Sydney to Hobart. It's an outstanding record. Have a great time, Lindsay.
Right, you too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Lindsay.
Lindsay May there, Navigator on Kealoha 2. And just incredible. OAM, by the way. Lindsay May.
Would you
May,
ever consider
OAM.
Doing that? Sydney to Hobart?
I would love to do it.
Yeah, I would love to do it.
A Comanche, the $1.90 favourite at tab.com.au. But you heard the tip there. Blackjack, $7. Wild Oats, $11 at $3.50. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. After that, we'll have Phil Moss in to talk English Premier League, because I think Manchester United played. And we'll get a sports update with Tanya.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The Australian Women's Health Diary funds life-saving breast cancer trials research. Just $18.95 from newsagents Woolworths and magshop.com.au. The Australian Women's Health Diary. Buy the diary that saves lives today.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Melbourne City continued a Christmas tradition of late goals in the December derby, coming back in stoppage time to level at 1-1 with Melbourne Victory in the A-League game at Amy Park. The draw denied Victory its seventh straight win and top spot on the ladder, the leveller coming in the 92nd minute from Dario Vidicic. In the other game, Wellington beat Brisbane 4-1. Today, the Central Coast derby with the Mariners hosting Newcastle. Thunderstorms reduced last night's BBL game on the Gold Coast between the Heat and the Hurricanes to 19 overs. The Hurricanes set the Heat 160 for victory. Brisbane's Ben Cutting smashed 58 off 32 balls, which included 5 sixes. But despite his efforts, the Hurricanes won by 15 runs. In the earlier game, the Sydney Sixers defeated Perth by 17 runs. Sixers' Steve O'Keefe took 3 wickets in his first 2 overs to give his team the ideal start to their defence of 165. While in the WBBL, Elise Perry's amazing form continues, recording her second century of the season, 103 not out off 64 balls, to help the Sixers to an 11-run win over Brisbane. The superstar all-rounder has hit 419 runs during WBBL 04. Massive NBL game at Qdos Bank Arena today, with the Kings hosting Melbourne United. It's 1-3. The Kings are on a high, riding a 5-game winning streak, but have lost to the defending champs in both their encounters this season. One of those, that heartbreaking 2-point loss on the siren. Last night, Adelaide 87 beat Cairns 82. Galaxy star won the Ted Van Heemst Stakes at Ascot last night in Perth. Owner Bob Peters must now decide whether to run the mare in the Perth Cup on January 5, given she is almost certain to be the top weight at around 59 kgs. Manchester City suffered a shock 3-2 loss to Crystal Palace in the English Premier League overnight, while Manchester United, in its first match after sacking manager Jose Mourinho, thrashed Cardiff 5-1. Fourth place Chelsea squandered its unbeaten home record with a 1-0 defeat by Leicester City. In other games, Arsenal 3, Burnley 1, Bournemouth 2-0 over Brighton, Huddersfield 1, Southampton 3, Newcastle and Fulham 0-all, West Ham 2, Watford 0. And boys, just to finish up, a nice story. We all know that we've seen or we've heard an over-enthusiastic parent screaming or berating at their children. Mm. Jimmy shaking his head there on the sideline. Well, LeBron James has given all sport-watching parents a lesson in how to support their child correctly. His 11-year-old son, Bryce, he's his second-born son. That's the older one, obviously. I've seen both of them. I've watched video clips on YouTube of their playing. They are unbelievable.
They can play.
Well, Bryce was having a bit of a down day, struggling to sink some of his shots. And LeBron took him to one side to impart a short, confidence-boosting pep talk about his performance.
You made three of the biggest plays of the game. You want me to tell you what they were? And you get too down on yourself for no reason. You made three of the biggest plays of the game. You got the offensive rebound, right? Down four, you got the offensive rebound, got the tip in, right? And then you had the outlet pass to Owen when he got the and one. And then you made the last swing thing to him for the game winner. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you're missing shots or making shots, don't worry about it, kid. You played a hell of a game. You ain't got to worry about making shots or missing shots. All right? Good job.
And that's brilliant. If how it is done.
Absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
Don't you love that?
Mm.
All the experience of a professional sports person wrapped up into a little bit of parenting there.
And Bryce gets up and walks back to his team. A little bit taller, I would imagine.
Exactly, So, Ken, I did see that. So was someone taping that conversation? Because I couldn't work out how they got it on social media.
It was on LeBron's Instagram page.
Ah.
So whether he was just walking around with a microphone, who would know? I mean, who would know what he's like? His whole life is an Instagram.
That's true.
Post.
It was great.
But anyway, it was lovely, wasn't it?
And he picked his son up. He went back out there and kept playing, and it was great to watch.
And Lakers keep winning too. So
LeBron,
aren't they doing well?
Yeah, doing very, very well. 13:53:53. The open line. No, just in relation to our earlier question, Ray, Karen Point, Tarmore, Thornton, Tarramurra, Tilopia, Terry Hills, Tregear, Torella, Toongabby.
Thornton. Someone said the gap, don't jump.
Yeah, well, that's not very nice. By the way, Roger Clouds Badham, the bloke who works at the Bureau of Meteorology, always reminds me of father. Remember Alan Wilkie used to do the weather? You know what he called him?
No, nine.
I'll block out Wilkie. You know why? Because he used to stand, and as we heard from Lindsay May, the weather comes from the west, and Alan Wilkie would stand there in front of it. And my old man would say, get out of the way so I can see the weather. You know, he's an old cow cocky. He wanted to know what was coming. The old block out Wilkie was in the way. Anyway, speaking of block out, Phil Moss next.
Ho, 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 Laurie. Happy Christmas to you and all our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, happy Christmas to you, TK. Happy Christmas to all our listeners and viewers. I wish them a safe and happy Merry Christmas with their family.
Back plenty wins.
From all of us here at Sky Sports Radio, have a Merry Christmas.
Fertile grass, rich soils and expert horse people give New Zealand thoroughbreds a winning edge. Graduates of New Zealand Bloodstock's yearling sales scored 120 stakes wins and 18 Group 1 wins last season alone. They've laid claim to the last five consecutive Australian Oaks and five out of the seven Australasian Group 1 guineas last season. Destined for racetrack stardom, over 1,200 yearlings are on offer at Karaka this summer. New Zealand Bloodstock, where winning begins.
Be rewarded, sit down, Jim. Be rewarded at Panthers. I'm getting worried about these left-right combinations. With Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards, there's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. Mm-hmm. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including all restaurants and bars. That means I get heaps of points on Christmas Day, because son not having lunch there.
You're going there on Christmas Day?
We are,
good.
If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
The good thing is you don't have to tip the staff either, because they're getting double time, so that's fine.
A novel for Fabinho. Keeps it for Mane. And Fabinho and Salah! Easy as that. What a deft little flick. Another little beauty for Mo Salah, and Liverpool are on their way again.
On
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Time now to talk some football. We do that with Phil Moss. Mossy, that was an actuality from the Liverpool game on Friday.
Against
which
Wolves.
Jagged themselves another win and stayed top of the table. However,
by 4 points.
Why don't they play more Friday night EPL? It's such a big TV night in Australia. How come it's not big? I know this is why they're doing it for the Christmas schedule, but why not more during the course of the season?
Well, FFA told the English FA that they don't want anything to clash with the Friday night A-League game.
Yeah, of course. why don't they?
No, and perfectly logical.
I don't know. I really don't know. It's just tradition.
Yeah.
They've never... In my memory, never played Friday nights in the EPL.
But with TV being such a huge earner for the code, you'd think they'd maximise it by putting games on Friday night, games on Monday.
Hang on. Let's think about this. Think about the time difference.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean the games are actually...
I was watching it here on yesterday morning while I was about to go to air. It was started around about 7 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah, 7 a.m. So what time was the kickoff in England?
So go back, is it not... 8 p.m. There you go.
8 p.m.
Perfect time slot.
It's a very good question.
You know,
it's a bit too complicated at this time of the year, to be honest.
But the thing about it is,
for Christmas.
The thing about it is this: when you start talking about EPL or what's kickoff time, like we're on the globe, because everyone on the globe is watching it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to work for someone, and it's not going to work for someone else.
I dare say it's got something to do with TV rights somewhere in there.
Yeah. But the incredible thing
that
about
seems to rule.
The National Rugby League, they've got it stipulated that they don't have games on at the same time, right, to try and maximise their viewership. The EPL, they're all on at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of them synchronised
mostly.
Kickoffs.
Yeah.
Like the last game of the season.
Last game.
Correct.
Every
all the same kickoff
yeah.
same time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, well, let's stay with the EPL there now. And
the questions get easier, by the way.
They do now. From now on, they will.
There's a spring in his step, by the way.
I tell
there
you what.
Funny about that.
Step.
Funny about that.
Oh, I got a Skulls card!
Marin who?
Exactly.
But the other thing about it is, the first thing I did was look at the team list.
Yes.
Pogba.
I guess it was back in. Yes.
Absolutely. And the whole front line scored.
Yeah.
So some good signs. Look. You always get a reaction when there's a change of manager, particularly in those circumstances. There's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the media over, you know, Alexis Sanchez. Was there a bet going on behind the scenes as to Mourinho getting shown the door? All these sort of things. But at the end of the day, I could see, that the Manchester United players that took the pitch certainly had a bit more of a swagger, a bit more of a smile on their face.
Right.
They looked like they were playing a bit freer. All those things. And no matter what anyone says to me, you can't tell me that dressing room was happy under Mourinho.
No.
Couldn't have been.
There is just no way.
Big turnaround at Man U, but shock losses to Man City and Chelsea after Liverpool won on Friday night.
That's right. Let's talk about the Man City Crystal Palace one, because that was at home for Manchester City. Well, they both were, to be honest. But what about these for some statistics? Manchester City... 78% possession to 22%.
Wow.
Shots 19-5 in Manchester City's favour. Shots on target 5-3, off target 9-2. So you dare say that over the course of the game, and I didn't watch it in full, but I watched a fair bit of it, Manchester City had the better of the running. But, wow, there is a contender. Well, I'll almost go so far as to say that there was the goal of the season, and it won't be topped by Andros Townsend. The second goal for Crystal Palace was
a
volley. Oh, my goodness. You do not see a better goal anywhere in the world at any time. It was just an absolute peach of a goal. One of the hardest things to affect in football is a volley on the full from outside the box. And he made it look easy, and the goalkeeper had absolutely zero chance.
I think I've mentioned this on this segment previously, and that is that when I was over in England in 2000, the goal of the year was from Paolo Di Canio, was exactly that, a volley from outside the box.
Volley, I remember that one. Yeah.
Just outstanding.
Yeah, but the bright thing for Manchester City out of this game was De Bruyne. Getting on the score sheet, so you know it'll be good for his confidence after being out for so long.
Okay, so Christmas time, Liverpool are on top. is a great stat over the last 10 years about the team that leads at Christmas. Eight of the last 10 have gone on to win the Premier League.
Mm. Finish it. Finish the stat.
Yeah,
the two had lost with both times with Liverpool.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. The listeners won't be surprised that you and I received a text late last night from Jimmy Smith about that statistic, right? But yeah, look, and I replied with Liverpool won't be slipping up this time around.
Oh,
and
Gerard, yeah.
Look, I've got a fair bit of confidence about this now. Mm. I really do. And I think, as we've spoken about before, that Pep Guardiola is desperate to do exceptionally well in the Champions League, and that's now coming down to the pointy end as well. So, you know, they've drawn Schalke, which you'd imagine that they'll get through in the last 16. They'll get through that tie, but then it goes back into a pot, and there's a redraw for the next stage. So that could certainly weigh into the debate as to who gets the run home. Liverpool still obviously alive and kicking in the Champions League as well. They drew Bayern. So yeah, really interesting run home now.
Back to the A League, and look, it's a bad gag, but I'm going to use it. The rise and rise of the Wellington Phoenix. Our man Roy Krishna.
Yeah, and our man Mark Rudin as well. His debut season as a coach. Look, they're going exceptionally well, and there's two sides to this story. Well, the rise of Wellington Phoenix and the fall of Brisbane Roar.
Right. Mm.
You know, they're up there with the most successful team in A-League history, and they are absolutely woeful at the moment. Big problems up there for John Aloisi and his brother Ross. And typified absolutely by that last goal from Sarpreet Singh yesterday, the free kick, where the wall just opened up like the Red Sea. Mm. Look, Wellington going very well. And that man, Sarpreet Singh, he is an absolute superstar in the making. He'll be a fantastic footballer.
I was texting you madly last night. How good was the Melbourne derby?
It was exceptional, Ray. And look, the A-League cops criticism and for being a little bit stale and it needs an injection. And I've voiced my opinions on that as well. Mm. But last night, everything that is good about the A-League was there for all to see. Fantastic crowd, great atmosphere. Fantastic game of football. A lot of people don't like draws in football, but last night had everything, including the we are just watching that Andros Townsend goal of the year.
Oh my goodness!
Left foot on the full, absolute from behind. That is incredible. Yeah, anyone, Google it. Yeah. Anyone listening, Google Andros Townsend. Goal
top left
Manchester
corner.
City.
Well,
it
talking about
peak.
Goals there, but the thing that struck me last night, goalkeeping was out of this world. Thomas in goal for victory was his first half. Some of those saves were at least three times. They were almost certain goals.
Yeah, that's right. And Eugene Galekovic at the other end as well. But they both played their part. But Lawrence Thomas is really establishing himself as one of the best keepers in the league. He stands up on the big occasion. You remember the grand final last year where he almost had his jaw broken, if it wasn't by Roy O'Donovan, who makes his comeback today in the F3 Derby, so no doubt we'll talk about that. But great game of football last night. The major talking point was the Keske Honda not playing, and the cloud of secrecy that was around that, and why he wasn't in the...
What's your take on that, Phil? Do you know?
Well, there was talk that he turned up to training the day before a little bit sore and a little bit of a hamstring niggle. Okay. But so what? Okay, so he's out with a hamstring. Just say that.
Yeah.
You know, fans and punters deserve to know if your star player's not playing. It was just a bizarre sequence of events from Melbourne Victory that wanted to keep it under wrap.
Central Coast v Newcastle today, $3.75 the Mariners, $4 the draw, $1.85 the Jets, and then the other game we've got Adelaide United up against the Wanderers, $2 United, $3.70 the draw, $3.50 the Wanderers.
And Donovan back for the F3 Derby.
If I was a punter, I'd be putting my money on Newcastle Jets, and I'd be putting my money on Roy O'Donovan to be first goal scorer.
Okay.
Is that right?
He absolutely loves Central Coast Stadium. You remember he scored a hat-trick there, I think it was last season, his first game back against the Mariners after leaving the club. He has been champing at the bit. My sources in Newcastle say that he has been absolutely training the house down. He's done more kilometres than he would have if he was playing 90 minutes a week. So he is ready to go physically. Mentally, he will have a massive point to prove. And let's hope moving forward. Roy O'Donovan's a great guy. I've met him away from the pitch. He is a wonderful human being. But he's just got this rap sheet in the A-League since he's been here. If you think about the headbutt, you think about the elbow against Geordie Boyce last season when we played them up there for Sydney FC. And now this in the grand final. He's now copped 10. He's finished his time. So let's hope that Roy O'Donovan does what he does so well and that's play football and score goals for Newcastle.
United versus Wanderers?
I think Adelaide will get the points at home in this one. Western Sydney coming off that loss last week in the derby against Sydney FC. Obviously, all the talk about Bomia Han being substituted when Janjetovic was red carded. I think Adelaide at home will be too strong for the Wanderers.
Terrific. And Phil, just finally, any Socceroos news?
There's a fair bit. There's some breaking news that Matthew Leckie had to come off early in the second half for Hertha Berlin in their loss to Bayer Leverkusen overnight. Hamstring injury. We can't afford to lose him, so no doubt Graham Arnold will be sweating on that one. And there's the club versus country dispute going on with Aaron Moy at the moment. Is he injured? Is he not? Yeah. Will he miss the Asian Cup? Bless you, Jimmy.
You tipped this last week, didn't you? You thought he'd be... About Aaron Moy.
He's a genius. Did we tip that last week? I was going to say, he's a genius.
About Aaron Moy. He's
He brought Pepper in today. If he tipped it last week, he would have brought Pepper in today. It's altering the condition of the nose.
No, our man Phil knew something was going on behind the scenes.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, well, I just know that Graham Arnold would not rule Aaron Moy out without having him checked out by his own staff.
Yeah.
Not that, there's anything untoward going on, but certainly a club will always want to look after their player. But this is a major, major tournament. Graham Arnold's defending the Asian Cup title, and, Aaron Moy, in a lot of ways, is our star man.
Absolutely.
So you're not going to rule him out without checking him out.
James Troisi, a little bit of a dummy spit.
We know what he did. He showed everyone why Graham Arnold probably didn't pick him.
Yeah.
That's my take on it.
Right.
That's without speaking to either Graham Arnold or James Troisi, but I thought it was petulant. The key quote for me was, "I've done so much for Australian football.
Ooh.
I've done a lot for Australian football.
We are but custodians of the game."
Exactly. The game owes us nothing.
Correct.
I just think it was immature, petulant, and the advice around James Troisi obviously didn't give him the right one, because I've worked with James back in 2007 with the Oli Roos.
Right.
I just found it a very, very, very poor reaction.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, you owe us plenty, so hopefully Roy O'Donovan salutes at $4.50 today
as
first goal scorer.
And I don't like backing against my beloved Mariners, but
right.
I just think Newcastle, with Roy coming back, I just think they're good money.
Especially when there's money involved, isn't
it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Most important thing. Good on you, Mossy.
Merry Christmas to you and yours, mate. Same to you, and very Merry Christmas to all our listeners. Thanks for putting up with me for another year.
And we'll be speaking to you during the course of the summer program as well, continuing your coverage of the English Premier League and the A-League. We'll look forward to that. Time for a break now. We're just about done here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We're going to get all emotional. About the upcoming... Well, actually, we're not. We're just going to go to a break and get to 10 o'clock as quick as we can.
The Australian Women's Health Diary funds life-saving breast cancer trials research. Just $18.95 from newsagents Woolworths and magshop.com.au. The Australian Women's Health Diary. Buy the diary that saves lives today.
Be rewarded at Panthers. With Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards, there's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
Arnold's ball in. It's a poor defensive header. Bernardo Silva winning the second ball. Townsend! That is an unbelievable strike. Crystal Palace lead at Manchester City.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the program. Just trying to get Phil Moss out of the studio. Easier said than done, really.
Just saying Merry Christmas and goodbye.
Rosie,
Merry Christmas, Phil.
Merry Christmas.
There he goes.
1353 is the open line number. My nomination for the airing of grievances for Festivus would have to go to the champion horse, Chautauqua. In 2018, he's just had enough of racing. If the great horse could talk, he would surely say to the various jockeys of today, "I choose not to run."
I'll tell you what.
Eddie from Glenfield, to be able to incorporate a couple of streams from
Where's
Seinfeld.
Where's your little list there?
It's over here.
Eddie from Glenfield. Right to the top.
He might get himself some Wingman beer.
He's
By the way, we're hopeful of getting Wingman beer out to our winner today. Not saying it's going to be Eddie.
No, it's still game the moment, one. There's 11 minutes to go. So
that's right. But what all we're saying is that we able to get it out before Christmas.
Okay.
Just like the troops coming home, right? We're going to get the wingman out before Christmas, okay?
Coming home for Christmas.
That's right. There we go. 1353 53 is the open line number. Have we got Trent Lane? Have we got
One listener from Melbourne?
There's speculation coming through down the line that we've got our Victorian listener on the line right now. Hello, Trent.
Oh, talk about airing a grievance. Good morning to you, Jimmy.
Oh, hang on. Listen, there's 11 minutes to the end of the program. Go for it.
I haven't got 11 minutes. I need a bit longer than that. But I would be interested, fellas, if there's been any feats of strength this morning.
And now, as Festivus rolls on, we come to the feats of strength.
Not the feats of strength.
This year, the honour goes to Mr. Kramer.
I tell you what, Ray's feats of strength happening every morning and every night when he does his 150 push-ups.
Actually, Ray would probably, his airing of grievance for the year would probably be the lack of puff wheat.
100%. And
well spotted.
One of our listeners has already made mention of that, actually.
Yep.
Trent. And just an aside, Trent, you'll be interested to know at Randwick on Boxing Day, a filly called Dolce makes her debut for the Chris Wallace Stable, a 2-year-old, part owned by some people you'd be very, very familiar with. Roughhead, Hodge, who else is in this team? Gunston. Three of your Hawks legends.
That should be winning just easily. It might even go for a hat-trick at some stage because Hawthorn love just having hat-tricks of victory, so that'll all be okay. The other thing as well, fellas, I love the episode Festivus in relation to that. And remember as well that Jerry was dating what turned out to be a two-face?
Oh, that's right.
And how she ran out and... bad lighting on the porch.
All right, Trent,
We better move on.
Come on.
Big bash tonight, Trent.
Oh, fair enough. I just love Seinfeld. I could talk about it all day.
I've got no doubt you do, Trent. And more to the point, got no doubt you could.
Thank you, Jimmy. 7:15 tonight at the Adelaide Oval. The Big Bash continues with two teams that have won their first matches in the season. The Adelaide Strikers $1.65 and the Melbourne Renegades $2.30. Just for the Adelaide Strikers high bat, Alex Carey, who was the high bat when they beat the Brisbane Heat the other night, $3.25. Jake Weatherald at $4. You've got Colin Ingram at $4.50. While for the Melbourne Renegades high bat, well, they stumbled across the line against the Perth Scorchers. Cameron White, the $3.75 favourite. Tim Luderman at $4.50. And Sam Harper, who was the high bat against the Scorchers, he is at $5.50. That's the Big Bash tonight, fellas, but cannot forget about the third test meeting on Boxing Day at the best stadium in Australia, the MCG, where you have Australia up against India. Australia $2.10, the draw at $5.50, and India $2.45. And after what occurred last year, fellas, where, yes, the pitch was docile at the MCG.
Surely it's spiced up, isn't it? Surely it's spiced up for Boxing
Day. I would hope
so,
Ray, but been reading about some Sheffield Shield matches and it's a bit of a worry. Perhaps that's why 43% of the money is for the draw. Hopefully we get to the fifth day at least, but hopefully there's a lot more life than what we saw in the Ashes last year.
Exactly. At least the series is live after Perth. Yes. Trent, there's two more games of round 10 of the NBL. The big one, though, is the Kings v Melbourne United.
That is the big one. Brad Rosen all hyped up about it. $2.50 this afternoon, and the Sydney Kings are $1.60, and Melbourne United $2.35. The line there is 2.5. They've met twice this season, fellas, although both of the matches were at Melbourne Arena, but Melbourne United won both of them, but we'll see what happens in the Harbour City. And then 5:20 at the Wynn Entertainment Centre in Wollongong, the Illawarra Hawks $2.20, and the Perth Wildcats, who Brad mentioned have been struggling, they're $1.67. The line there is 2.5, a couple of ripper games to complete round 10 of the NBL.
A-League and EPL, we've just been going through with Phil Moss.
You have been, Jimmy. So the F3 Derby, 5 o'clock this afternoon there in Gosford. You've got Central Coast $3.75, the draw at $4, and Newcastle $1.85. Mossy confident about the 3 points for the Jets. In the last 11 F3 Derbies, Newcastle have won 5 of them, and there have been 5 draws. So Central Coast, they have struggled for the win. They've only got 1 in the last 11, but they've been at least been able to keep them to draws on 5 other occasions. And in the EPL, 3 o'clock in the morning at Goodison Park, Everton against Tottenham, where you've got Everton $3.10, the draw at $3.30, and Tottenham $2.25, and Tottenham unbeaten in their last 11 EPL clashes against the Toffees, 6 wins and 5 draws. And just to recap on what occurred overnight, fellas, a couple of big shocks that been speaking about with Mossy, although you're both happy. Liverpool and Manchester United managed to avoid those shocks. Leicester City at the start of the week, they were $10 to win away to Chelsea. And Crystal Palace was $17 at the start of the week to away to Manchester City. And it's the first time that Crystal Palace has won, well, in the EPL against Manchester City since 1990. There have been times where one of the sides has been in the Championship, and they've actually met in the Championship, but 1990, the last time Crystal Palace won away to Man City in the top flight. There's week 16 in the NFL happening at the moment, the Tennessee Titans against the Washington Redskins, and then at 12:20, the Los Angeles Chargers and the Baltimore Ravens. So there's plenty happening. You can check out the markets at tab.com.au. Jimmy and Ray, and also the producer, Steve. You've got Hamish on the panel, and Tanya. Merry Christmas, and best wishes over the festive period, although there have been always some fun about the Sydney-Melbourne rivalry. I love chatting to the pair of you on a Sunday morning, and to everyone listening, hope you have a Merry Christmas, and obviously the best wishes during the period.
Right back at you, Trent. Well said, mate. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for your contributions during 2018, and I have it on good authority we're actually going to continue into 2019, Trent, so hopefully you'll be a part of us.
I think you'll both be right, fellas, don't worry.
No guarantees around that, though, Trent, as to your involvement. However, we'll see what we can do when we talk to management.
Just adding one more to the list of the airing of grievances.
Exactly.
Can't wait for Festivus next year.
Good on you, mate. Trent. Great job this year, and we look forward to speaking with you next year. Trent Lanscale there from tab.com.au, 1353.
We do have one more show this year, though.
Is the open line up? That's true. That's true. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Raymond. Got to be careful about that. I'll tell you what. If there's one thing we've done this year, we've tried to entertain, we've tried to inform.
We may or may not
have done that. We have sold some motor cars through this man, Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Morning, Scotty.
Good morning, boys. Yeah, it's been a great year, and Merry Christmas to you guys and all the listeners. We've had a good year, and it seemed to have gone very quickly. So, I suppose things do fly when you're having fun, Jim.
Have you got a number for us, the number of cars we've sold through this program?
Mate, I should have got a full tally, but I know that it was at least 25 because we passed 25 about 6 weeks ago. So, yeah, probably around the 27 or 28 cars through the show.
We'll look forward to sitting down with you to renegotiate the deal at some stage in the new year.
You might not want to have said that, Scotty.
Scotty?
They're all very cheap cars, mate, so we don't actually make any money out of them, but it's the entertainment side of things that we love doing.
That'll do me.
And word of mouth, Scotty.
That'll
word
do me.
Word of mouth for you.
Righto, let's make it number 28.
We're certainly going to do this, boys. We've got a Christmas holiday super special. This is a 2008 Holden Captiva LX all-wheel drive wagon, silver in colour and a beautiful-looking vehicle. It's got automatic climate control, air conditioning, power steering, 6 airbags, ABS brakes, hill holder, self-levelling suspension, traction control, cruise control, power windows, got the leather trim, alloy wheels, and, of course, this one is a 7-seater. It's another great vehicle in very good condition, and it does drive extremely nice, so it's going to be a fantastic car to take away on holiday. And this is a Santa special for the listeners today at just $6,990. And, boys, that does include a three-year warranty, but you need to be quick. This will sell today, so give us a call on 963-750-24 or go to the website www.fosterscalitycars.com.au and contact us through that, because that's a cheap car, the 7-seater, and it will sell.
And, Scotty, you've got some great finance packages available too.
We certainly do, and it's not too late to organise some finance. So we've got access to a number of lenders, and this allows us to get the best possible rates, but it also helps us help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you have had credit issues in the past, now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid default, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fosterscalitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-750-24, and we'll be able to help you get into a car as soon as today.
And you had a winner with Joel Dempsey, Kieran Dempsey's young bloke.
Yeah, we certainly do. Congratulations to Kizza. And his son Joel. Joel got a beautiful Mazda 3 SP25 during the week, and he's ready to tear up the Christmas holidays in his new car. So well done, Kiz and Joel. Kiz does a bit of work for the Melbourne Storm, so it's good to you know, have that network of football and I suppose the Sky Sports industry, you know, that people come back and buy cars from us all the time.
Absolutely. Good on you, Kieran. Good on you, Joel. Stay safe this Christmas holiday period as well. Remember, double demerits, and we need everyone to be, if they're making their way to their destination, please stay safe on that
one as well.
Bit
of news out of the Foster family too before we let Scotty go.
Quickly.
Boys, yes. Mm. A huge congratulations to the younger brother, Matty Foster. He's living up there on the Sunshine Coast, and he's now engaged to Emily. So well done to the both of them. They're going to have a great Christmas, or the first one, as an official engaged pair.